After a long absence, we are continuing with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This is chapter 5, called Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. And if you remember, they had just left the Dursleys through the fireplace. Harry spun faster and faster, elbows tucked tightly to his sides, blurred fireplaces flashing past him, until he started to feel sick and closed his eyes. Then, when at last he felt himself slowing down, he threw out his hands and came to a halt in time to prevent himself from falling face forward out of the Weasley's kitchen fire. "Did he eat it?" said Fred excitedly, holding out a hand to pull Harry to his feet. "Yeah," said Harry, straightening up. "What was it?" Tongue-tongue coffee," said Brightly. "George and I invented them, and we've been looking for someone to test them on all summer." The tiny kitchen exploded with laughter. Harry looked around and saw that Ron and George were sitting on the scrubbed wooden table with two red-haired people Harry had never seen before, though he knew immediately they must be Bill and Charlie, the two eldest Weasley brothers. "How are you doing, Harry?" said the nearest of the two, grinning at him, and holding out a large hand which Harry shook, feeling calluses and blisters under his fingers. This had to be Charlie, who worked with dragons in Romania. Charlie was built like the twins, shorter and stockier than Percy and Ron, who were both long and lanky. He had a broad, good-natured face, which was weather-beaten and so freckly that he looked almost tanned. His arms were muscular, and one of them had a large, shiny burn on it. Bill got to his feet, smiling, and also shook Harry's hand. Bill came as something of a surprise. Harry knew that he worked for the Wizarding Bank, Gringotts, and that Bill had been head boy at Hogwarts. Harry had always imagined Bill to be an older version of Percy, fussing about rule-breaking and fond of bossing everyone around. However, Bill was, there was no other word for it, cool. He was tall, with long hair that he had tied back in a ponytail.
See?
He was wearing an earring with what looked like a fang dangling from it. Bill's clothes would have not looked out of place at a rock concert, except Harry had recognized the boots to be made not of leather, but of dragon hide. Before any of them could say anything, "So you want me to get an earring, don't you?"
Mm-hmm.
"Which is the gay ear?"
It's the left one.
"So if I would have to wear it just on the right ear?"
"No, you should get two."
"I'm not piercing my ears." "What would an earring look like on me?" Yeah, whatever.
You wouldn't.
You think so?
"I like earrings on guys. I think they're hot."
"Really? I like earrings on girls. I think they're hot."
"What would you do if I got my bullet button pierced?"
"If you want it. I only really like ear piercings, though, of all piercings. Other piercings are just weird. You know?"
"I probably wouldn't get one
anyway." "I wouldn't think you would. You're too... Like, you also would think that it was weird."
"On me. On other people, it's cute."
"I don't know. Anyways."
"Jen has it."
"No, really?"
"Yeah."
"Ugh. Don't get one. I don't like them." "We had a babysitter who had a tongue piercing."
"Yeah."
"And it, like, made noise when she talked. It would just click against her teeth. It was so annoying."
"Do you know what the... like, reason people get tongue piercings is?"
"No, it's not that, is it?"
"Yeah."
"Really?"
"Yeah."
"Ooh, that would hurt, though."
"What?"
"Like, on a... oh, which way?"
"Both."
"It seems like it would hurt if a girl had tongue piercing. No?"
"I bet you'd really like it."
"I don't know. This is a family program, though."
"Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe... I kissed a guy with a lip ring."
"Really? What's that like?"
"Awesome."
"Really? With a lip ring?"
"Yeah, we spent like 7 hours, literally 7 hours, like all night we just kissed. It was amazing."
"Which lip?"
"His bottom lip."
"Interesting. And it felt good?" "Mm-hmm." "Fair enough. You miss him?"
"No."
Where were we? Oh, yeah. Before any of them could say anything else, there was a faint popping noise, and Mr. Weasley appeared out of thin air at George's shoulder. He was looking angrier than Harry had ever seen him. "That wasn't funny, Fred," he shouted. "What on earth did you give that muggle boy?" "I didn't give him anything," said Fred with an evil grin. "I just dropped it. It was his fault. He went and ate it. I never told him to." "You dropped it on purpose," roared Mr. Weasley. "You knew he'd eat it. He was on a diet." "How big did he get?" George asked eagerly. "It was 4 feet before his parents would let me shrink it." Harry and the Weasleys roared with laughter again. "This isn't funny," Mr. Weasley shouted. "This sort of behavior seriously undermines wizard-muggle relations. I spent half my life campaigning against the mistreatment of muggles, and my own sons..." "We didn't give it to him because he's a muggle," said Fred indignantly. "No, we gave it to him because he's a great bullying git," said George. "Isn't he, Harry?" "Yeah, he is, Mr. Weasley," said Harry earnestly. "That's not the point," raged Mr. Weasley. "You wait until I tell your mother."
"Tell me what?" said a voice just behind them.
Mrs. Weasley had entered the kitchen. She was a short, plump woman with a very kind face, though her eyes were presently narrowed with suspicion. "Oh, hello, Harry, dear," she said, spotting him and smiling. Then... excuse me. Then her eyes snapped back to her husband.
"Tell me what, Arthur?"
Mr. Weasley hesitated. Harry could tell that, however angry he was with Fred and George, he hadn't really intended to tell Mrs. Weasley what had happened. There was a silence while Mr. Weasley eyed his wife nervously. Then two girls appeared in the kitchen doorway behind Mrs. Weasley, one with very bushy brown hair and rather large front teeth. It was Harry and Ron's friend, Hermione Granger. The other, who was small and red-haired, was Ron's younger sister, Ginny. Both of them smiled at Harry, who grinned back, which made Ginny go scarlet. She had been very taken with Harry ever since he had his first visit to the Burrow.
"Tell me what, Arthur?" Mrs. Weasley reported in a dangerous sort of voice.
"It's nothing, Molly. He's so whipped."
"I know,"
mumbled Mr. Weasley. "Fred and George just... but I've had words with them."
"What have they done this time?" said Mrs. Weasley. "If it's got to do anything with Weasley's wizard wheezes."
"Why don't you show Harry where he's sleeping, Ron?" said Hermione from the doorway.
"He knows where he's sleeping," said Ron.
"In my room. He slept there last time."
"We can all go," said Hermione pointedly.
"Oh," said Ron. "Right."
"Yeah, we'll come too," said George.
"You stay where you are," snarled Mrs. Weasley. Harry and Ron edged out of the kitchen, and they, Hermione and Ginny, set off along the narrow hallway and up the rickety staircase that zigzagged through the house to the upper stories.
"What are Weasley's wizard wheezes?" Harry asked as they climbed.
Ron and Ginny both laughed, although Hermione didn't.
"Mum found this stack of order forms when she was cleaning Fred George's room," Ron said quietly. "Great long price lists for stuff they've invented. Joke stuff, you know. Fake wands and trick suites, loads of stuff. It was brilliant. I never knew they'd been inventing all that stuff."
"We'd been hearing explosions out of the room for ages, but we never thought they were actually making things," said Ginny. "We thought they just liked the noise."
"Only most of the stuff, well, all of it really, was a bit dangerous," Ron said.
"And you know, they were planning to sell it at Hogwarts to make some money, and Mum went really mad at them. Told them they weren't allowed to make any more of it and burned all the order forms. She's furious at them anyway. They didn't get as many owls as she expected." Owls were ordinary wizarding levels, the examinations Hogwarts students took at the age of 15. "And then there was this big row," said Ginny, "because Mum wants them to go into the Ministry of Magic like Dad, and they told her all they want to do is open a joke shop." Just then, on the second landing, a door opened, and a face poked out, wearing horn-rimmed glasses and a very annoyed expression.
"Hi, Percy," said Harry.
"Oh, hello, Harry," said Percy. "I was just wondering who's making all the noise. I've been trying to work in here, you know. I've got a report to finish for the office. It's rather difficult to concentrate when people keep thundering up and down the stairs."
"We're not thundering," said Ron irritably. "We're walking. Sorry if we've disturbed the top-secret workings of the Ministry of Magic."
"What are you working on?" said Harry.
"A report for the Department of International Magical Creatures Cooperation."
That's our magical cooperation, said Percy smugly. We're trying to...
Cooperation?
Yeah. Department of the International Magical Cooperation.
Cooperation?
Cooperation.
Like, not corporation?
Yeah, cooperation. Like, getting together.
Interesting.
We're trying to standardize cauldron thickness. Some of the foreign imports are just a shade too thin. Leakages have been increasing at a rate of almost 3% a year. That'll change the world, that report will, said Ron. Front page of the Daily Prophet, I expect. Cauldron leaks. Percy went slightly pink. You might sneer, Ron, he said heatedly, but unless some sort of international law is imposed, we might as well find the market flooded with flimsy, shallow-bottom product that's seriously in danger. Yeah, all right, said Ron, and he started upstairs again. Percy slammed his bedroom door shut. As Harry and Hermione and Ginny followed Ron up 3 more flights of stairs, shouts from the kitchen echoed up to them. It sounded as though Mr. Weasley had told Mrs. Weasley about the toffees. The room at the top of the house, where Ron slept, looked much the same as the last time Harry had come to stay. The same posters of Ron's favorite Quidditch teams. The Chudley cannons were whirling and waving on the walls and sloping ceiling, and the fish tank on the windowsill, which previously had held frog spawn, now contained one extremely large frog. Ron's old rat, Scabbers, was here no more, but instead there was a tiny gray owl that had delivered Ron's letter to Harry in Privet Drive. It was hopping up and down in a small cage and twittering madly. Shut up, pig, said Ron, edging his way between two of the 4 beds that had been squeezed in the room. Fred and George are in here with us, because Bill and Charlie are in their room, he told Harry. Percy gets to keep his room all to himself because he's got to work. Why are you calling that owl pig? Harry asked Ron. Because he's being stupid, said Ginny. Its proper name is Pigwidgeon. Sorry, Pigwidgeon. Yeah, and that's not a stupid name at all, said Ron sarcastically. Ginny named him, he explained to Harry. She reckons it's sweet. And I tried to change it, but it was too late. He won't answer to anything else. So now he's Pig. I've got to keep him up here because he annoys Errol and Hermes. He annoys me too, come to think of it. Pidwidgeon.
Ron has like the weirdest thing with pets.
I know. He's not exactly a pet kind of guy. Pigwidgeon zoomed happily around his cage, hooting shrilly. Harry knew Ron too well to take him seriously. He had moaned continually about his old rat, Scabbers, and had been most upset when Hermione's cat Crookshanks, appeared to have eaten him. Where's Crookshanks? Harry asked Hermione now. Out in the garden, I expect, she said. He likes chasing gnomes. He's never seen any before. Percy's enjoying work, then, said Harry, sitting down on one of the beds and watching the Chudley cannons zooming in and out on the posters on the screen, on the ceiling. Enjoying it, Ron said darkly. I don't reckon he'll come home if Dad didn't make him. He's obsessed. Don't get him on the subject of his boss. According to Mr. Crouch, as I was saying to Mr. Crouch is of the opinion, Mr. Crouch was telling me. They'll be announcing their engagement any time now, Ron said. Have you had a good summer, Harry? Said Hermione. Did you get any of our food parcels and everything? Yeah, thanks a lot, said Harry. They saved my life, those cakes. Have you heard from... Ron began, but at a look from Hermione, he fell silent. Harry knew Ron had been about to ask about Sirius. Ron and Hermione had been so deeply involved in helping Sirius escape from the Ministry of Magic that they were almost as concerned about Harry's godfather as he was. However, discussing him in front of Ginny was a bad idea. Nobody but themselves and Professor Dumbledore knew about how Sirius had escaped, or even believed in his innocence. I think they've stopped arguing, said Hermione, to cover the awkward moment, because Ginny was looking curiously from Ron to Harry. Shall we go down and help your mom with dinner? Yeah, all right, said Ron. The 4 of them left Ron's room and went back downstairs to find Mrs. Weasley alone in the kitchen, looking extremely bad-tempered. And you think maybe we'll stop there. What do you think, Boo? Oh, my cutie. All right. I'll stop the recording now. I love you so much, cutie. You're the sweetest girl ever. Good night, sweetheart. Love you.